Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 4 this evening. We'll read verse 23 through verse 27 responsively. I'll read verse number 23 and you'll join me on verse number 24 all the way through verse number 27. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 24. Proverbs chapter number 4. Right, you got it. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Let's read verse 27 together. "Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the privilege it is to be in your house. Lord, help us to not take for granted what an awesome privilege we have to be here. Lord, to hear your word preached. Lord, may each and every one of us tonight yield ourselves to you as we listen. Lord, be with our pastor this evening as he preaches. Fill him with your power. Give him clarity of mind, clarity of thought. Work through him as he lifts up your word. Lord, please make us more like you because of tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for everything that's done here. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight. I'm going to actually ask you to kind of forgive me. I'm going to preach to myself tonight. I'd like you to listen in. But I think I can help you if you listen. I am not a huge soccer fan. That's not one of those sports that I enjoy. I'll be honest with you, I really don't understand why you want to run that far and not tackle somebody and beat the snot out of them. Amen. If you're going to chase somebody that far, you might as well get most out of your mileage, amen? It just seems to me that if you're going to run like that, beat the snot out of somebody or flatten them or something like that. And they didn't like me when I played because they always gave me these yellow and red cards. Yeah, I didn't understand it, but I like yellow and red, but I didn't like the red ones as much as the yellow ones, all right? While I was in high school, in PE class, we would sometimes play indoor soccer, especially in the winter in Ohio, because there was too much snow and too cold outside to play. But because I liked baseball, soccer didn't mean much. You know, I always wanted to use my hands. There's just something about a baseball player, your natural reaction is use your hands. And so I always volunteered to play goalie, especially in indoor soccer. The trouble was, we had a guy in our Christian school that was an incredible soccer player. Jimmy went on after college to go play on the Olympic soccer team. He was an alternate for the Olympics. He was that good, all right? And Jimmy was a little smaller than me, but he was good. Well, I remember one day in PE class, I was sitting there being goalie, and there's not a lot of action usually because everybody's out in the middle of the floor kicking the ball around, it bouncing off the roof. But all of a sudden, Jimmy broke free, and here he came. I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be fun. And Jimmy got from here to the edge of the platform from me, and it was a wide open shot. Well, he took that foot and went, boom, like this. What I didn't know is Jimmy could kick a football 65 to 75 mile an hour. And I blocked it. But I was in the goal. He hit me square in the chest, and every little bit of air I had in me went like that. I didn't know you could get the imprint of an indoor soccer ball on your chest. But I found out you can. Man, he tagged me. My ribs hurt for 3 weeks. The whole gym, it sounded like you shot a gun off and it went boom. That ball bounced and I don't even remember where it went because my eyes were shut and I was laying on the ground going, I was on the ground unable to breathe, but he did not score. That's right. Sacrifice body for a ball. Now, in soccer, the goalie, there's another word for a goalie. Anybody know what it is? Keeper. The word keeper. Or Translated to English, idiot. All right? The word goalie is also the word keeper. The word keeper means protector. Means someone who protects the goal so that the other team does not score. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. In other words, be a goalie to your heart. We are to protect our heart with all diligence, just like a goalie would protect the goal in a soccer game. God says that he wants us to protect or be a goalie to our heart. Now, look at me for a moment here. The heart in the Bible is in reference to our emotions, our feelings, our soul. God says that we're to protect our emotions. Now, God does not say that we are not to use our emotions or to live life emotionless. But he does say we're supposed to protect them. Now watch this. We're to protect them from the opposition trying to defeat our emotions. You see, the world is here to get to you emotionally, to make you make decisions emotionally and not principally. But God did not say don't use emotions, but we are to protect them so that we don't use them wrongly. Passion is not a bad emotion, but if it's used wrongly, it can become a bad emotion. Passion between a husband and wife is a very healthy thing, but outside of marriage, it's not real healthy. You see, it's not that the emotion is bad, it's whether we've protected or we've been a keeper of our heart to use it at the right time, the right way. Now, God does not say we will never hurt emotionally. Did you know God never promised that you'd never hurt? I wished I could tell you that's true. If that's the case, when we were at Brown Funeral Home today, we wouldn't have felt like we felt. God never said that you would not hurt emotionally, but he said we could put a keeper, we could guard or protect our emotions so that we don't use them wrongly. By the way, we're not even supposed to use our emotions against ourselves. God gives us a sweet little outline here in Proverbs chapter 4 that I want to give you tonight about being a goalie for your heart. Number one, the issues of life come from our heart. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of what? The heart, are the issues of life. Now I want you to notice something, the word issues. Do you know it's only used once in the Bible and it's right there? It means source, outgoings, or boundaries. Now, watch this. Emotions were given to us by God. We were created in his image. That means we have the same emotions God has. His are holy, ours are sinful. If we don't use them as God gave them to us to use, we're cheating God and ourselves. So the problem is sin brought on the breakdown of the keeper, and now we let emotions rule us instead of principle. Salt's not a bad thing, but put too much of it in something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It'll turn your tongue inside out and slap your head. Pepper's not a bad thing. Cayenne pepper's not a bad thing, but you put the whole can in a bowl of chili, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues, things coming out the wrong way, the emotions. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me make a statement here. The fool has said, follow your heart, because our heart is sinful and desperately wicked. Being a keeper of the heart means that we don't let emotions make our decisions. We let Bible truth and right make our decisions. It doesn't say that our emotions will always be in agreement with it. Hey, I know heaven's real. I know that we're all sinners. I know we're all going to die. But when my mama went to heaven, I can't tell you I didn't cry and didn't hurt emotionally. Everybody doing okay? Was that wrong, preacher? Should you not well, guess what? We all have emotions. But I didn't let the emotion keep me from preaching this morning. I haven't let the emotion from keep me from being here tonight preaching. Though I have a heavy heart, and my heart aches for my dad and my family and my children and my nieces and my brother and my family and my aunts and my uncles and et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't change the fact that even though I hurt, I will not let those emotions keep me from doing that which I'm supposed to do. Amen. Now listen, God does not want us to have our have or use our emotions the wrong way. He wants us to protect ourselves from being led by emotions that are sinful. Folks, we are all sinners. If we're not careful, we'll allow the emotion of a decision to decide what we do. I have $100 to spend on Christmas. That's just an illustration. But I go to the store and realize, wow, I'd like to have this for this person, that for that person, that for that person, that. And it comes out to $300-$400. Well, my heart says I want to do all those things, so I'll pull out plastic and pay on it for the next 14 months just because my heart says I should do that. No, you had $100 to spend the $100 and be done. Don't buy based on emotion because you want to do something. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Now, if you have the wherewithal to do it, that's one thing. But if you don't do it.
Amen.
Don't follow your heart. Follow truth. I'm going to make a statement here. Let your heart follow truth.
Yes.
If we will follow truth, and we make our heart follow the truth, eventually the emotions will follow the truth.
Sure.
Too many of us say, well, I'll give in. Oh, I love them so much, I'll do this, and we don't do right. No, you don't love them if you do not do right. If you don't follow the truth, you're not showing love, you're showing lust. You're showing selfishness, and you're trying to play God. God says to protect our heart with all diligence, not with all busyness.
Right.
Diligence and busyness are two different things. Diligence means a guard, a warden, basically Brother Juan, a police officer at the jail. Our diligence, by the way, he's not keeping people out of the jail. He's keeping people in the jail, correct? That's what a warden is, or a guard. He's keeping that which is inside protected from the outside, and the outside protected from what's inside. Listen to this. We need to be like a prison guard, not letting the emotions out the wrong way or at the wrong time. Keeping your heart with all diligence means we keep our thoughts and our emotions locked inside, throw away the key until it's time for it to come out, not just because we felt it. We are not to protect from things coming into us. We are to protect it from things going out from us the wrong way. Let me show you what I mean. Stand up here. He has the ability to have a bad temper. So do I. Here's the thing. There are some things we ought to get angry about. I get angry when people use the wrong Bible. I get angry when people say you can get saved by your own good works. I get angry at bad doctrine. I get angry when people mistreat each other. But just because he's unkind to me does not mean I'm supposed to come unscrewed.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? If I'm keeping my heart, he does something to offend me, And I'm to guard my heart so as not to let that emotion out, to let him know how angry I am. Have a seat. I have a man that has been a very abrupt and loud enemy of mine for many years. Very loud. Very boisterous. Tried to run over me once in a parking lot, even. I mean, rough. But I was sitting at the table Monday night. My dad was sitting beside me. My wife was on the other side of me, and Miss Wally and Josh and Ruth Ann and Ashley were there. My phone buzzed, and I got an email. I haven't heard one positive word out of this person in about a decade. And he said, I just read in the paper about your mom. I guess it was Friday. He said, I just read in the paper about your mom. He said, it's a very hard thing to do, and I want you to know my wife and I are praying for you. Can I tell you something? I didn't want my mama to go to heaven, but if my mama's going to heaven brought one of my enemies back to being right with the Lord so they're not bitter, it's okay. Amen. It's a good thing that came out of it. Now, that doesn't mean if he walked through the door that he's going to teach Sunday school next week. But I will say this, I hope he doesn't have to live the rest of his life in bitterness. And maybe that's what it took to heal him. Okay. I didn't say, oh, this guy's a jerk. Do you know what he said about me? Do you know what he's done to me? He didn't mean that. That's how you might respond if you're not keeping your heart. As you keep your heart, you say, Shazam, there is a God. And I was happy for that person. I truly was. Was I surprised? Yeah, when you've been criticized like that, you get a little surprised, but I was truly happy for that person. You see, so many times we want to verbalize. When your spouse says one thing and you want to contradict it right away and start the argument, you know, you poke the bear. God says we are to guard ourselves so that we don't do that. Our rudeness. Don't you think every once in a while I feel like being rude to somebody? If you had to put up with what a preacher has to put up with, you preach, give your life to people, and preach on Sunday twice, and on Monday they call you and say, preacher, I know you preached on this yesterday, but I didn't do it, now look what happened. There's a part of me that wants to say, then fix it yourself. But I won't. That rudeness won't come out because I have to keep my heart so that I can help somebody. Amen. This one's going to hurt. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Our opinions. Did you know your opinion is an emotion? And opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. May I say this? Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean it's supposed to come out your mouth. There are times your opinion's better off not being said. Matter of fact, 98% of the time, you shouldn't even voice your opinion. But we'll get to that in a moment. Number two. So, number one, to keep your heart, to be a goalie for your heart, the issues of life come from your heart. Number two, we keep our hearts by not speaking foolishly. Look at verse number 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Guess where your mouth and your lips are? Right there. That's where your words come from. God says this is about our words, not other words to us. This is about what we say, not what was said about us. Notice what it says. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Say, that's what I was going to do. I was going to knock his lips off. No, that's not what I was talking about. It's about you knocking your lips off. We are not to use a froward mouth. We're not supposed to poke at people to make them respond. Some of us are real good at getting people put into a corner, and we keep hammering them until they do something. God says that's a froward mouth. We're not to speak our opinion when we have no authority to change the outcome. Do you know my opinion does not matter if I don't have the authority to fix whatever the problem is? Oh, we can talk politics all day long, but I don't have the authority to fix it, do you? I have one vote just like you have. And hopefully it'll get counted right. But guess what? We can voice our opinion all we want, and it's not going to change anything. That's why I don't listen to the news, because it's all opinion. I refuse to watch and listen to the news because it's all opinion or made up fact based. Husbands and wives, you don't have to offer your opinion unless it's asked for. Fellas, you don't have to tell your wife how to cook something. Just pack the pie hole and shut up. Well, if it were me, I would. Then you're going to be cooking the rest of your life. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have opinions, but they don't need verbalized, and oftentimes, and especially if they're not asked for. But even if your opinion is asked for, I'd be careful in giving it all. Amen. And how you give it. Protect your heart by not saying everything you're thinking. Let me say it this way. Being a keeper of the heart means you guard your mouth not to say your opinion unless it's asked for, and that you have the authority to do something about it if you do give it.
Right.
I have people come to me all the time, "Preacher, what's your opinion about this?" "Oh, don't know that I have one." "Well, I want your opinion." Even if I had one, it's not going to be able to change anything, so what good is it? Now, there are some things that people will ask my opinion over that I think I could help them with. Okay, that's not a problem. But if I don't have the wherewithal to help them fix it, you know, "Well, preacher, what are we going to do about the presidential election? What's your opinion about?" It really doesn't matter because I can't change it.
Right.
And I'm not going to give you an opinion because I don't have one, because I don't take time to think about it, because I can't fix it or change it anyway. Listen to this. The key to keeping or protecting our heart is to keep our mouth in line with truth, as God sees truth, not as we see truth. Ouch. Did you know if you keep your mouth in line with that, you're less apt to say things you should not say or say them at the wrong time? Fellas, we always have an outline of how to fix everything. Sometimes a lady doesn't need us and our kids don't need us to tell us how to fix something. They just want to tell you what they're thinking. Just because somebody tells you something, they're not looking for your great masterful mind how to fix it. Sometimes they just want to talk and you need to listen and not offer an opinion. Everybody doing okay? Put your mouth in line with truth as God sees it, not as you see it. Quit playing God. So, we keep our hearts by not speaking foolishly. Our heart is where the issues of life comes. Number three, we keep our hearts by good focus. Look at verse number 25. This is where we're going to get a little personal. "Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established." Look at me for a second. Notice every one of these things is about you personally, not somebody else. You don't keep your heart based on what others do. You keep it based on the focus you have about your life. God says we can protect our heart from being wrong escaping by focusing our path and not looking how we think others should walk in our path. Here's the problem. Here's Sam down here. He's going through his life. I'm going through my life. I'm walking the path that God has for me. But if I look over here and say, "Sam, you're on the wrong path. You need to get over here. You need to be up here with me." How old are you, Sam? 19? 17? You're still ugly. You know, I don't expect, and God doesn't expect, a 17-year-old boy to be on the same part of the path that I'm on. Everybody doing okay? Why should I get off my path to make him come over here to my path? Because the moment I do that, guess what? I'm not on my path anymore. God says, no, look straight ahead. Let thine eye look straight on. Ponder the path of thy feet. When his path crosses my path, I say, oh, Sam, how you doing? Need anything? Let me help you. All right, go this way or go that way and go this way while I go that way. And I stay on my path. Here's what we do. You're on the wrong path. You need to come over here. You're on the wrong path, and 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 you're definitely on the wrong path. And you're on the wrong path, and she's on the wrong path. And we're so concerned about everybody else because they're not on your path. Guess what? They're not supposed to be on your path. And when you're not looking at your path, you're not even doing what you're supposed to do. God says you focus on your path of life. And as people cross that path, you help them, but you keep going the direction you're supposed to go. Preacher, how do you put up with criticism? How do you put up with enemies? I keep my eyes focused on the path that's before me, and I don't look to the left. I don't look to the right. I don't. God says to only think about our path, not what others think we should do. I don't listen to what others think I should do. I am following the path God has set for me by the word of God. Amen. Our life and our path can help others. But we're not to use our focus on what we think they should do or should have done. We're not to use our mouth, as we said in the last point, to express we think what they should do or should have done. Well, those rotten kids, that couple needs to really work on their kids, and they ought to do. What are you doing looking at that? You got enough trouble with your own. Go look in the mirror. You got enough trouble with yourself, and you think you're going to help somebody else? It always amazes me, these people that put out children's books that never reared a kid. It's amazing how many people have put out books about children that never had kids. Dr. Spock never had any. No wonder his book's so corrupt. We keep our hearts by focusing on the path we are on and helping those who cross our path, not forcing them to get into our path. Can I tell you something? As your children grow older in life and they become adults, quit trying to force them into your path. Amen. God didn't ask them to live your life. How about you let them live their life, and as their life crosses your path, you love them and you give them the best advice you can. Amen. But don't get so out of shape if they're not living your life. Guess what? They're not you. They're not you. But you could still love them. It doesn't mean you have to participate and they're wrong, but you can still love them as they cross your path. Boy, that's a good statement. Amen, preacher. There is only one you, and you are not God, and no one else in life is supposed to live your life. Amen. Let me say this. There's only one somebody else, and you're not supposed to dictate what they live in their life. Why do you expect everybody to live life the way you live? How about we just match up with truth? Well, if we match up with truth, everybody's going to live the same thing. No, that's communism. That's right. My wife is much different than other people's wives. She's my wife, not somebody else's. I don't expect her to be like anybody else. I'm not going to compare everybody else to my wife and my marriage. Say why? Because a Mrs. Lopez is far different than my wife. Now, I've known Mrs. Lopez since before she was Mrs. Lopez. I knew her when she was Miss Billings a long time ago. And Joe didn't have hair back then either. but may I say this? I love her, but I've known Leanne as long as I've known my wife. But I don't expect them to be the same. Say why? We live different lives, but we're still following truth. And we get along, and we're still friends. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Boy, that's good. Number four, and I got to finish. So, number one, the heart contains the issues of life. Number two, we keep our heart by not speaking foolishly. Number three, we keep our heart by good focus on the path that God has for our life. And number four, lastly, we keep our heart by not getting off the path God has made for our life. Amen. Stay focused on it, but don't get off of it. Look at verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That means your mouth. Remove thy foot from evil. Turn not to the right, turn not to the left. Can I tell you what discourages me a little bit if I pay attention to it? I know the great churches of yesteryear. I know the churches that used to run 5, 10, 15, 20,000. That tonight, we have more people than they have. That this morning, in their church services, quote unquote, they had drum sets, praise and worship teams with men and women dancing on the platforms, light shows, no standards, preaching the wrong Bible. At one time, they were a hub of soul winning, people getting saved, lives being changed, buses being run, and now it's just country club. If I look at that, it could discourage me. What happened? They turned to the left, they turned to the right to see what the world wanted, to try to keep a crowd, to try to keep the bills paid. Well, we don't need an auditorium. We're going to get a little bit more modern. We'll have a family worship center. We're not going to call it Sunday school. We'll call it Adult Bible Fellowship. Puke. Sunday school is Sunday school.
Amen.
How about we just stick with the old-fashioned stuff? Well, let's have a giant screen, and we'll follow the bouncing ball, and people won't have to have songbooks so that they, if they want to get up and they can sway and swing and dance in the pews, they can do it. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before that ever happens here.
Amen.
Say why? Because I just happen to believe in truth the way God said it.
Yes,
now listen to me very carefully here. I can keep or protect my heart by not worrying about how people accept me. I just have to keep on the path God has for me. You know, I don't wonder what this person thinks. I 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 wonder what God thinks. And as long as he and I are right, if you and I are wrong with each other, God will change one of us.
That's right.
But I have to preach what God says. I've got to stay on the right path. I wrote a statement down here. You're not going to like it because I don't like it. But it's a true statement. If I believe all the praise someone gives me, then I must believe all the criticism too. Before you just say, boy, isn't that wonderful, and I believe all the good things, then you better start believing all the bad things people say too. You know, I try to take what my critics criticize me about and try to fix a little bit of what they say. Because there's usually a shred of truth in it. Not much, but a shred. So I try to work on that. Why? So that maybe I won't be criticized like that quite as severely again. I got a phone call recently. Somebody was upset with me. I was helping a family member, and the person that called me doesn't even attend our church, and so it doesn't really bother me. But they were upset because I was helping somebody that's a member of my church, and they said, well, they just kind of got a little terse with me, and I just turned it on them and got terse back with them just a hair and said, look, they're a member of my church, and this is what they need. Well, this is what I said, didn't ask you your opinion. You called me to tell me yours. Boy, did that shut them down in a hurry. I said, you're the one that called me. I didn't call you. I said, I will do my best to help your family member and give them what they need. Whether you agree with them, whether that's what they need or not, isn't the issue. They do, and I do, so I'm going to help them. You don't have to show up for it. Well, and I said, you can get all huffy all you want. I said, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm going to help somebody. He said, you did that, preacher? Uh-huh. Say why? Because I don't care what people think. I want to help you. And I'm not going to let somebody walk all over you so that I can't help you. Just live life to please God. Don't pull yourself from your path to make someone else happy. Don't leave the path to make somebody happy at Christmas. Well, I won't go to Christmas church. I won't go to church and I won't do this because we're going to be in such and such. That's the worst thing in the world you could do. Well, my family won't go. Good. Leave them at home. Go to church.
There you go.
I love my family. But if they don't come, guess what? I'm still here.
That's good.
Everybody doing okay?
Preaching.
How would it be that if my family showed up and didn't want to come to church, that the preacher stayed home and spent time with his family instead of come to church and preach? How'd you think of that? Well, what makes me any different than you? Everybody doing all right? I love you. I'm having fun right now. If somebody else isn't on the path that you're on, help them. Give them spiritual truth they need, but don't stop and drag them off their path to come onto your path because they're not supposed to walk your path. They're supposed to walk their path. Too many of us want to make robots and everybody has to believe and live and do exactly what we believe and do and how we do it. And if they don't do it, then they're not right with God. Show me that in the Bible. Don't be evil or try to talk bad about somebody or try to hurt somebody. Evil means you go against somebody in cahoots with somebody else to destroy somebody. If Brother Josh and I work together to try to destroy Brother Steve, that's evil. When I go to him and say, did you hear about Brother Steve? And boy, we need to, that becomes evil. That's called gossip. This altar was built so that you could put your tongue on it. And if it doesn't fit out here, we've got a door right there and you can roll it right out into the yard. I don't care how long it is, we'll get it out there. Gossip is evil and it's sinful.
That's right.
It's nasty and God talks about how he hates it. Quit talking about somebody. By the way, I don't care if you're related to him or not. Some of us are evil with our adult kids by how we treat them. Everybody doing okay? Expressing opposition or opinion to force your way could be evil. Getting others involved to get on your side to make somebody do something is evil. You want to keep your heart? God gives us four very clear principles. Your heart is where the issues of life comes from. We keep our hearts. We're a goalie for our heart by not speaking foolishly. We are a goalie for our heart by keeping focused on truth. We keep our heart by keeping our, not getting off the path. We stay on the path that God has laid for us. Can I tell you something? God says we ought to be a goalie for our heart, our emotions. Can I tell you something? You don't have to let emotions drive you to depression.
That's right.
You don't have to let your emotions drive you to anger. Put a guard on it. By the way, it's not what comes to you, it's what comes out of you that God says guard. It's not guarding what comes to you, you are to guard what comes out of you. That's how you keep your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Like I said, I preach to myself. I need this. I'm sure if I need it, somebody else does. I wonder, how's your heart? Have you been a good goalie? Have you blocked it even though it's coming at 60 or 70 miles an hour and you know you're going to get tagged in the chest? It's okay. You might lose your breath for a second, but you can handle it.